ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सत्वं विहाय मम बन्धो ततो ग्राम्यमतिर्महिम् विचरन् पदमाद्रक्षि कयाचिन्निमितं स्त्रिया। My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic, and not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman. Prabhupada, when the living entity falls down, he goes into the material world, which was created by the external energy of the Lord. This external energy is described herein as some woman or Prakriti. This material world is composed of material elements, ingredients supplied by the Mahat Tattva, the total material energy. The material world created by this external energy becomes the so-called home of the conditioned soul. Within this material world, the conditioned soul accepts different apartments or different bodily forms and then travels about. Sometimes he travels in the higher planetary systems and sometimes in the lower systems. Sometimes he travels in higher species of life and sometimes in lower species. He has been wandering within this material universe since time immemorial, as explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. The living entity wanders into many species of life, but he is fortunate when he once again meets his friend, either in person or through his representative. Actually, it is Krishna who personally advises all living entities to return home, back to Godhead. Sometimes Krishna sends his representative, who, delivering Krishna's very message, canvasses all living entities to return home, back to Godhead. Unfortunately, the living entity is so greatly attached to material enjoyment that he does not take the instructions of Krishna or his representative very seriously. This material tendency is mentioned in this verse as gramya matihi, sense gratification. The word mahim means within this material world. All living entities within this material world are sensually inclined. Consequently, they become entangled in different types of bodies and suffer the pangs of material existence. So in this section, there's a lot of wonderful verses that are like pramans that there was a previous relationship between the Lord and the living entity before the living entity came into this material world. And the Lord is actually sometimes much more eager for us to go back than we are eager to go back. Here we see that the Lord has injected himself upon the scene. He has arrived at a timely moment when the king has died, right? And the queen is there. Puranja is in a lady's body now. So he arrived at this time and he introduces himself as the forgotten friend. And he uses this interesting analogy of the swans in the lake. The Sanskrit word is hamsa. So why is the living entity and also the Lord compared to swans? Well, there's some common qualities between the two of them. Swans are very bright white in color, which indicates purity and goodness. So both the living entity and the Lord are by nature pure and in Shuddha Sattva. And Manasa, the swans, they live in the Manasa. Manasa can mean the lake, or Manasa can also mean the heart. I was explaining in the Bhagavad Gita class the other day that in Sanskrit the words for heart and mind are all actually synonymous. So manaha, manasa, hridaya, they're all actually synonyms. Like in English we say heart and we think of this, the pumping organ, and we think that all the feelings are actually there. But then that's just a physical location. Actually the mind or the heart, which are the same, it's the seat of thought, the seat of feeling, emotions, and it's a subtle thing. So just like swans, hunkses, stay in the manasa, they reside in the lake. So the living entity and the supersoul, they're also hunkses, because they're pure, they're in the mode of goodness. And they live in the manasa, they live in the heart. So that's why the analogy is used. Of course, the Mayavadis have a different take on it. The hamsa, they say, is aham saha. That I am he. You know, so that they get a whole argument from that. I think I mentioned in one previous class that there's one joke, you know, sometimes if you stay in the Chitrakoot ashram, for example, that you'll see on the walls soham, you know, it's one of the vakyas, mahavakyas of the impersonalists. So there's a joke that a devotee sees that written on the wall, and then he comes along and he adds the syllable da at the beginning, so da soham, I'm a servant of Krishna. And then the Mayavadi again comes along and sees his mahavakya defiled by such devotional sentiment, and he adds another syllable sa, so sada soham, I am always him, I am always the Supreme Lord. And then, you know, it goes on, the devotee comes again and he says, again he adds da, so daso dasuham, I'm the servant of the servant. So they they go back and forth like this. So there's many stories, there's many bhajans, particularly of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that talk about the coming of the jiva into the material world. One of the famous ones, Buliya Tamari, Sangsare Asiya, Paye Nana Viravyata, right? Tomara Charani Asiyatiyami, Bolibo Dukerera Kata. So, you know, that's just the beginning of it, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that forgetting you, I have come into this material world and now I have obtained various kinds of miseries. And now, after gaining my senses, I am again coming to take shelter of your lotus feet, and I'm submitting the sad tale of my life. I'm submitting my tale of woe. So there's not actually that many stories of people's journeys back home, back to Godhead, but there's some prominent stories in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita surrounding Gopa Kumar. So because this verse is talking about these set of verses is talking about meeting the Lord again and going back to their original home and so on, we'll read those quite soon. Just to comment on a few words in the verse quickly before we get into that. Here we have the word gramya matihi, which in general means material consciousness. So it's derived from the word grama, which means village, right? It's, you know, for the city folk, the villages are just, you know, that's just gaonwalas, right? They're kind of a level down or considered vulgar. So gramya mati means like a vulgar consciousness. This material consciousness is vulgar in comparison to the spiritual consciousness. It's belittled here in this verse. And the Acharya's comment that the word padam, a place, the word padam here, a place, means the body. And that's what we're going to see elaborated in the next verse. In the next verse we'll see how in that place there were five gardens and nine gates and so on, which will be the topic of tomorrow's verse. So the idea is that, you know, we gave up Krishna, who was our friend, and we came to this material world, to the Mahim, to the earth, or to the material universe in general, and we developed this material consciousness, and we wandered all around, and then we found this padam. We saw this padam. We saw this body, which was manufactured by a certain lady, who the acharyas explained to be Maya. So, we, in other words, coming into this material universe, our mindset attracts a particular body, and we, with great delight, inhabit that and think it's us. So that's the topic of this verse. So, here's a very interesting account from Brihad Bhagavatamrita about Gopa Kumara's experience of going back home, back to Godhead. But his journey was very gradual. We see a lot of stages of evolution there. He actually first went to Vaikuntha, and there's an amazing welcome back speech there given by the Lord of Vaikuntha. We say here, Prabhupada says here in this purport, that living entity wanders into many species of life, but he is fortunate when he once again meets his friend, either in person or through his representative. So usually, to extract us from this material world, Krishna sends his representative in the form of Guru, but in some rare cases, Krishna himself comes and does the job of the Guru. And that's what happened in the case of Gopa Kumara. His Guru, who we met in Govardhan, his name was Jayanta, and he was actually an incarnation of the Lord, special appearance of the Lord just to get Gopa Kumara back. So Lord Narayan will say when Gopa Kumara reaches Vaikuntha that I became very impatient and I just broke my own rules and just out of impatience I came to get you myself. So sometimes the Lord may do that. Usually it's a representative of the Lord who's preaching the same message of the Lord. The Lord comes and he gives his message, like Bhagavad Gita or other teachings also, like in the Uddhava Gita. So many teachings he leaves behind for the living entities for their upliftment. And then the representatives who meet everybody on such a personal level and who are many in number, they will present the same teachings of the Lord and help the living entity to begin the practice of devotional service by which he can reunite with the Lord. So, Gopa Kumara, as we know, is the hero of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and he was born in Govardhan. He was a simple cowherd boy born in Govardhan, and his spiritual journey began when he saw this, this very effulgent spiritual personality. He was like a wandering around Vrindavan like a avadut. He saw him chanting the holy name, and he was intrigued. And he got some basic instruction from his guru Jayanta at that time, and that started him on the journey. And he went to many, many places along the way, and before he came to Vaikuntha, he went to Lord Shiva's abode, which is said to be the abode of liberation. It's outside of the material, it's outside of the Devi Dham. So he went there, and then at that time some associates of Lord Narayan from Vaikuntha happened to be passing through there, and they told him in confidence that actually there is something better than this place too. So here is how you will attain it. So go back to Mathura, where you are from, and follow this process, and then you will attain that place. And so he did that. He went back to Mathura. It's interesting, along his journey, you know, he goes from the earthly planet up to the heavenly planets beyond the material world, and then he again comes back to Mathura, and then he goes to Vaikuntha, briefly goes to Dwarka, some allusion is there to Jagannath Puri also. But then he again comes back to Vrindavan. And then from Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan, then he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. So there's a lot of emphasis on how important even Boma Vrindavan is, how non-different and how much the same it is. So we'll read a part here, because we don't usually hear too many details. When devotees leave their body, we assume that they've gone back to Godhead based on their wonderful life of devotional service, but we don't witness the what happens to them. You know, we don't witness them being transported to Goloka, or we don't know what they're experiencing when they reach Goloka, what amazing experiences they must be having. You know, that is somewhat not described as much, so much in the, but here is a very prominent example where it is described. So Gopakumara is speaking to this brahmana who is instructing and who is trying to bring up into the devotional service. So this brahmana has been sent to him by Durga, actually. This brahmana was a worshipper of Durga, and she sent him there, you know, out of real compassion for him, to hear from Gopakumara. And Gopakumara, instead of speaking some philosophy, he presents his whole own journey, his own progress in Krishna consciousness, because there's nothing more inspiring than a personal example sitting right in front of you. So he's speaking to that brahmana. In the course of my playful wandering, I came to Mathura, Sri Madhupuri. There I heard the Bhagavatam and other scriptures from the local brahmanas. After rightly understanding the meaning of devotional service in its nine forms, I came to this forest, Vrindavan. They're having the conversation in Vrindavan. And as soon as I arrived, I met my divine spiritual master. Here, Gopakumara is meeting him again, I think maybe for the third or so time. He appeared splendid, just as before, and when he saw me lying prostrate before him, he joyfully embraced me and offered his blessings. Thus my all-knowing master showed me his extreme mercy. Receiving his grace, which revealed to me the most confidential secrets, I followed his instructions by practicing bhakti yoga without interruption. Jai Sri Sri Gaurani, Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shamasandaki Jai. I followed his instructions by practicing bhakti yoga without interruption. Such a flood of pure love of God so quickly awakened within me that I lost control of myself. I was unable to do anything but chant the Lord's glories. O Sri Krishna, Gopal, Hari, Mukunda, Govinda, O Nandakishore, Krishna, O darling son of Mother Yashoda, please show me your favor. O life of the divine cowherd girls, O Lord of Radhika. Thus I called out to Krishna and sang his glories in various ways. At one moment I danced exuberantly, at another I sobbed out loud. Like a madman I wandered here and there according to my whims, forgetting my own body and everything else. Once I thought that I saw the Lord of my life standing before me, and I ran to take hold of him. Overwhelmed by love, I fainted and fell to the ground. At that moment the associates of the Lord arrived in an airplane to take me to Vaikuntha. They at once put me on that airplane and carried me away, and when I opened my eyes, I saw that everything was different. Shocked, I returned to full consciousness and saw them beside me, the same benefactors I had met before, the same ones that he had met in Mahesh Loka, Lord Shiva's abode, that had told him. As I reverently offered obeisances, those associates of the Lord embraced me and reassured me again and again. Putting forward hundreds of arguments, they wished to give me a bodily form like theirs. But I refused their offer. And instead, by their influence, my own body, born in Govardhan, assumed qualities and beauty like theirs. So it's another very interesting case. Usually people accept a sarupi mukti when they go to Vaikuntha. But some people choose to retain their own forms, and that form gets spiritualized. A famous example of that in the Bhagavatam is Dhruva Maharaj. When he boarded the Vimana, then his body became golden like and assumed all spiritual qualities. So he went back in the self same body. And Gopa Kumar is doing the same thing, he's going back in the self same body. Probably we don't want to go back in our self same Kali Yuga ugly bodies or whatever, but but some people are able to do that. In their company, I traveled along the path to Vaikuntha, a path inconceivable, supremely blissful, and distinct from everything in this world. My eyes fell upon all those worlds, cosmic regions, and coverings of the universe I had visited before, and I felt ashamed. The residents and presiding rulers of those places were honoring me. Faces upraised, palms joined above their heads, they vigorously cast flowers, parched rice, and other auspicious offerings upwards towards me. Praised by cries of jai and offered obeisances at every step, I moved on, and before my eyes I saw the abode of liberation and how trifling it was, how insignificant it was. And traveling upward from there, I came to the world of Lord Shiva. There I bowed down to Lord Shiva and Uma with great pleasure, and he made me feel blissful with a flood of gracious words filled with love and respect. And then I went on to that place whose garland of glories cannot be touched by words or by the mind, Vaikuntha. The associates of the Lord told me, please wait here for a moment outside. We should take permission from our Lord before bringing you into his city. Stay calm, and with your eyes illumined by devotion for the Lord, count the waves of the vast ocean of wonders that flow here. One after another, wonders you have never seen or heard of before. Sri Gopa Kumara said, they went in and I stood outside in the pavilion of the entrance gate. I then beheld someone coming and entering that great city. He rode in a transcendental vehicle endowed with the opulence of hundreds of universes. Music and other entertainment filled him with delight. He resembled the Supreme Lord in luster and beauty. I thought that he was Sri Hari, and I cried out again and again, O Lord, protect me, and bowed down to him, but he covered both his ears and gestured for me to stop. I am a servant, he told me, a servant of the servants, and he moved on in 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 servants, and he moved on into 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 servants.